heard Patrick and Chris on here a little while ago. I just come in from the chickens and worked up a sweat.
That'll mean you'll be hungry here shortly.
I know I'm underfed, but I do have a piece of homemade pumpkin pie calling my name with some Cool Whip on it right now.
My friend, enjoy it. Me and pumpkin pie don't get along, so anyway. I'm over here setting up the radio, see if I can find, see if our buddy is out there anywhere so I can work him on winter field day since it started, I think.
I haven't looked. You said he was going to make an announcement on the repeater, I thought. But if you hear anything, give me a holler.
All right, let me get back over to the radio and get it tuned up. W2T.
Tom, KO4QLD here.
I'm hot, I'm tired, just climbed the stairs, went out and, moved some. I have an old aluminum screen door and a big old tub, or where it might not get as much rain in the chicken pen. I haven't figured out how to solve that yet. It gets too wet in there. How's your day?
Pretty good so far. Just gotta keep it going in that direction. Hard to believe you can be outside sweating in February, huh?
Hey, Chris. I had a hoodie on and I put on a goose down vest over me, which I usually wear out there. I took a mask and I got out there and it's 59 degrees, so that helped me get hot. So I'm just sitting there eating some white grapes and turning on the computer finally. And I heard Shane on this morning talking to his son-in-law, and that's been about the size of it. According to what I seen on radar a while ago, there's a big bunch of rain coming.
That's what my phone was telling me a few minutes ago. It looks like it's going to be pretty widespread, too.
Bring up the radar right quick here on the laptop and see what it looks like. Oh, it's mostly green. It's light green all around Greenville, but as you go over towards your place, you're starting to get some of those darker spots in it. And then, let's see, Toccoa and that, they're starting to get thunderstorms, I'd say, Chris. But we don't have any plans to go out in it today. I don't see anything that's bright red anyway, so that's good.
Well, it's just lightning proof and warming radios. The radio that I keep in the Humvee. I've been straightening up the shop so far, but I got sidetracked after I got off the radio with Patrick. You know how it is, getting started on something and getting sidetracked is easy to do.
You ain't good with your ADT yet?
This is one thing we got accomplished this morning. And the technician is a friend of mine. So he came and visited for a little while. The problem with the security system was very simple. So it only took a couple minutes to fix. It's just that you have to know what to look for. And I didn't, but he did.
Well, that's good. And I'm happy for you. You know, we had what we call the rule of KISS when we started troubleshooting the machine tools. And we'd say, keep it simple. Remember, I got called in more than once where, on those big verticals, a guy would forget to lock the rail and he'd try to start the table. They'd get excited and call me in and just push a button and walk out. and little things like that, or the air pressure wasn't on, and the tool changer couldn't work, and but that was the rule, keep it simple, stupid, and that's the way I liked it.
Now, all this rain in the shop, or outside the shop, has got the humidity really high in the shop. So I'm just about afraid to turn any of my machines on today. My radio that's playing out there, playing some music for me out there, has already protected itself a couple times from the moisture. It shuts down, gives you an alarm, and it's, since I've reset it, it's been doing good too, but that humidity is out the roof.
This is Zero TR. Chris, what I do is I'd go to Lowe's or Home Depot and get you a dehumidifier and just drill you a little hole outside the shop and have it automatically drain through a hose. And that really, it keeps our humidity perfect down in the basement. And it's, 1,200 square feet, I guess you'd say. Something like that, isn't it, Bernice? Or 1,400. And, Chris, you can put it on automatic. And you don't even have to clean the filters in it but about once every 6 months, and you can just wash them off. It's real easy to do. But it's, maybe 2 foot wide and 2.5 foot tall and 2 foot thick. You just plug it into 110 and put it on automatic and set the, like I leave ours on 50%. And if it's below 50%, it'll run. And they're just little old blower motors that don't take any juice at all. But it really does a good job.
I've used them humidifiers before, but I never thought about using one in the shop here. That's actually a really good idea. As far as my radio goes, I got it in the same cabinet as my video monitor. And all I had to do was shut the door on the cabinet, but I left it open. So it's my own fault. My radio has shut off a couple times this morning. All I had to do was close the door.
I got an electrical interlock on the door or micro switch?
No, it's just a regular shop cabinet. It's a metal cabinet about 4 feet wide, 6 feet tall, and just with regular doors on it. But that would keep the humidity out of the internals.
Well, there's another thing there that you can do. In my gun safe, I have a goldenrod, I think they call them, a dehumidifier. I checked it yesterday, and it looks like a dowel pin, about 1.5 feet, 2 feet long, and it takes millivolts or milliamps of electricity. It's just very, very low powered, and I think they're about 40 watts, something like that, and that'll keep that cabinet dry, and you just plug it in and forget it. You can get them from most any gun store or Midway Arms. You've heard of them, I'm sure, but they'd probably be cheaper locally just from a gun shop, and put it in the tool cabinet. I got two of them in my gun safe, and it was like 42% yesterday, Chris.
L4QLG. Yeah, I hadn't really thought about a dehumidifier for the big cabinet, but this is actually the first time that my radio has shut itself down. and I noticed the condensation. So that's why I'm pretty sure that it's the humidity that's doing it. But I will check into that because our distributors for the shop probably do carry them. Be a simple order to accomplish.
We're good on that tool cabinet, Chris. I think they call them golden rods or something, one brand, but there's several different brands. All they are is a very long resistor inside of an aluminum tube, and that way they can put out heat. I'll give you the tip of the day, though. When you reach in there to see if they're working or not someday, do it with the back of your hand. You do not want to grab one of those suckers with the front of your hand. I put a humidity gauge in there just so I could watch it. A little sheep went off of Amazon. But that'll fix your tool cabinet up great.
Take that hard. I'm planning to go back to the gun shop sometime today. Got a tool that I need to grab for from a lawnmower. Had to pull the starter off and rebuild the starter on the lawnmower back a few weeks ago, and don't have the correct tool to get it back on. Had somebody take it off for me, and they had the correct tool. But it's kind of a hard tool to find. And we got one of their gun shots.
Are those nowadays, I used to overhaul all kinds of universal motors. That's a motor with a commutator in it. Our old Rockwell drills, we used hundreds of them, and I'd have to rebuild those back at the machine shop. They drilled the vent holes for the little tits that stick out on your tires, you know, in the old days. And they either used those, and then they got to where they used air tools, but they used electric drills a lot. And those guys are like welders. They could break an anvil with a rubber hammer. So I'd have to change mostly the armatures or the brushes, and sometimes the fields or the trigger, of course. But they were metal at first. They were Rockwell and one other real good high-dollar brand. They were $125 way back years ago. But they'd last. They were good. They tried going to a cheap Black and Decker, and oh, it lasted a couple hours. So is that starter motor? I would have figured now they'd use the permanent magnet ones. They have rare earth samarium cobalt magnets in the fields instead of a commutator and that in there. So, no brush. Was that one that way?
Well, we took it apart there at the shop. I do not recall seeing any brushes on it. But those magnets were pretty big magnets and permanently attached to the housing. And actually getting started off the motor. They were not those earth magnets, but they were pretty fragile, I would say, because we didn't tap on that starter very much, but they were definitely busted up when we got it off.
Well, I'll tell you what, those son of a guns are about as hard as ceramic, about like a ceramic egg, and they bust real easy. And they're usually that rare earth samarium cobalt. But years ago, when I was flying back in service, those were classified, actually. They used them in inertial navigation systems, and for a long time, the public didn't even have them. It was kind of like GPS, you know. We had it first, and then they had it. Now, GPS was long after I was out of there, but inertial was a real good navigation system. And apparently they had those in it. I didn't work on that part of it, of course. But they are hard as rock. And, boy, I got some down here. If you stuck your finger in between that and, say, for example, the gun safe, you'd have a black and blue finger. They're really strong.
Got a few here in the shop that I use for working with. And they are real fragile, too. They're real easy to break. But the size of the ones that I use are pretty small. But they are definitely strong, even though they're small.
This is Gerald GR. Well, we did a lot of mine power equipment. Feeders and dryers and cyclones and kilns, you name it. We build everything that you could build a whole coal tipple out of, Chris. And one time they did some research and development, and I seen where the, there was usually cast iron. Well, it wasn't cast iron, it was plastic in there, and I laughed. It looked like plastic, but it wasn't. It was melamine or something strong. And they had these magnets, and they were being very careful with them because they break very easily. I got one of those that was left over. It's down in my shop. If you ever come up this way, I'll show it to you because you'll laugh. It's about an inch thick. It's about 4 inches wide and a foot long. I guarantee you, you don't want to put your finger under that. And the only way you can get it off the safe is if you slide it off, because you ain't going to pick it up. If you drop it, it shatter like glass.
Sliding something across your finger that has pressure on it is not very pleasing. I got two of my fingers caught in shit back during the summer, and the only way I could get out was to pry the two pieces of metal apart and slide my fingers out of the slot, and that was back during the beginning of the summer, and I'm still having problems with them fingers.
Up there, it's unwise to run that kind of equipment when you're by yourself, and we are getting older, so be awfully careful, Chris, because you get caught in one of those. I had a friend, his name was Chet Darlington. He worked for a coal mine, and at that time I was selling electrical apparatus. The first year I got home out of service, I worked for Atkinson's Armature Works, and they did huge motors and things, and Chet would come in there and buy mine power equipment. And his wife said he went out one afternoon on his day off to combine. And Chet got caught in that combine. And he usually didn't come in until just about dark, you know, a farmer. And he had got caught up in that thing. And I don't remember, Bernice, did he lose fingers or something? He was hurt pretty bad. But he would have bled to death if she hadn't drove out there and checked on him. He couldn't get out of the machine. So don't be one of those statistics.
It sounds pretty much the same situation I was in. The tool that I used to pry the two pieces of metal apart with, I could barely reach them with my fingertips of my free hand. I call it pulling a tad, because I had to have my upper body inside the working area of the machine in order to reach the tool that I was trying to get unlocked. And if that tool that I used to pry the two pieces of metal apart with had been 1 inch farther away, I would have been stuck there for the whole afternoon. So it kind of opened my eyes. But chances are I'll do something stupid like that again.
Sir, well, we've always done, all of us have done things like that. I used to use a grinder and use gloves and had one jerked off of me one day, and I decided that was a bad idea. Gloves are dangerous. But we had a guy, and he lived in my neighborhood, and he ran a 72-inch, I think it was, Giddings and Lewis vertical boring mill. And you know how big that is. We had a lot bigger ones, but that was a big one. But it was used for smaller things in our shop, and so they ran it at very high RPM. And he was kind of a slob, not a bad guy, kind of a crab, but not a bad guy. But he wore overalls constantly. And he'd stop into Mom and Dad's store on the way home every night from work. In later years, I worked there at McNally Manufacturing. And they kept on him because he'd take one of those suspenders loose. And it caught him, Chris, and drug him. They didn't have no guards around the table back then. It drug him into the machine, clear around the back side of it, and throwed him out the other side. And he lost his leg over that.
Yeah, sometimes those guards are annoying. Especially with that safety switch on. You can't do nothing unless the guard is up. But sometimes we need that extra little help.
I mean, OSHA, sometimes they go overboard, but for the most part, something's happened to cause that, you know? And it's amazing the things they got. Now, we built a guard around it then and made it pneumatic, but a guy still had to push the button to bring it up. So I told the boss, I said, hey, I'm going to put a micro switch in that. And if they put it in series with the start switch, and if that guard's not up, the machine wouldn't start. He said, that's not a bad idea, Tom. But on the newer stuff, like the LeBlanc CNC lathe, they had a guy get caught up in a tool changer, and they sent an engineer down and revised the software in the machine to put a delay somewhere on the tool changer to prevent whatever happened from ever happening again. It didn't happen at our shop, but they went around and corrected them on every machine that they had. But it's amazing now they can do that with these PLCs and stuff.
This is KL4QLD. It was the tool changer that I got caught up in. I had like maybe a second to get that tool out of the way. And after I got myself unstuck from the machine, then I opened up the manual, and it was just a matter of 4 or 5 keys punched that would reset the tool changer. So, problem was fixed in less than a couple minutes, but it took me about 10 minutes to get out from making my bad decision to begin with.
Yeah, I never made any bad decision in my life. Just there's one sitting over here beside of me, you know. I've been with 55 years, isn't that right, Grace?
No.
No, she's the best decision I ever made. Anyways, Chris, I'm going to let you go because you're getting a little hoarse and I'm talking your leg off. And the pleasure's all mine. I really enjoyed visiting with you, Chris. It's quite a surprise today. I got to go out and get the mail and listen up for Ariel and see if I can help out with this winter field day. And I tried to download this ham alert thing and get it fixed up on my phone, but I'm a little leery of that stuff. It worked, and then it didn't work, so I just deleted it off of my apps until Ariel could set it up for me. And I very rarely see him anymore. He's a busy man. He's a school teacher and everything else. So take care, Chris. And 73, KO4QLG and 0TR.
Tom, it was good talking with you. And I won't talk to you again, probably tonight, if you don't get caught up in your CW. This is KO4QLG, I'm clear.
Tonight again, I turned the volume down while I was working the CW contact, and then be darned, I forgot to turn it back up. Getting senile, my old age, Chris. See you later. N0TR Cliff.